Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for another day to come before your presence with thanksgiving. We thank you for who you are, and because of who you are, Lord, we give you glory. This is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. God, as we just open up your word, God, the word of life, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds, that we would be better men and women of God, that we'll be better saints of God, that we'll be able to share your word with a dark and dying world. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all you've done in our lives, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And God, we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. There's a spirit of praise in the house. And I thank the Lord. Amen. I think, you know, Jesus said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And then I believe Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he have delivered, who have redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you've been redeemed, you ought to just give God praise on this morning. He is worthy to be praised. And I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. You know, I use for a thought today, and you see it on the screen. We are more than conquerors. Amen. And I think what I want to do is I want to read Romans 8, 37 through 39 to preface all of the things that point us to the fact of knowing that we as people of God, as children of God, are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. So I want to read Romans 8, 37 through 39. Then we're going to backtrack a little bit. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's talking about the Lord, the creator of the universe. And the writer here, the Apostle Paul, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is why I want to talk today about we are more than conquerors. Amen. And to conquer means to gain mastery over or win by overcoming obstacles or opposition. Has anybody ever had any obstacles in your life? Have you ever faced opposition in some kind of way? Well, you know, if you haven't, stick around, because as long as we're living, as long as we're breathing, we're going to face some opposition. But greater is he who is within us than he that is in the world. And so I want to let us know, according to God's word, that we are more than conquerors. Who are we? Those who have placed their hope and their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Here we are, and this, you know, a lot of times Easter is in the month of April, but since this is a leap year, then Easter Sunday is the 31st of this month of March, and I'm excited about that because we begin to think about Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life in our place that we could not live, died on the cross for sinners like you and I, and rose on the third day. Hallelujah. With all power in his hands. And he has made a way that we could spend eternity with him. Remember in John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Right. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, we're only here for a short time. It may seem like a long time. In some ways it does. I'm 71 now. Okay, where did the time go? But on the other hand, it's life is very short. It's fleeting, you know. And so we need to develop a kingdom perspective to know that it's not that when you're dead, you're done. Because if you're in the wrong place, you're well done. But that we can spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to learn how to overcome obstacles and opposition in our lives. And we cannot do it in our own strength. Now, part of this is true and part of it is not. People say it ain't what you know, it's who you know. Amen. But see, if who you know is Jesus, then you're more than a conqueror. Because if you know people in high places, sometimes they can let you down. Folks may say, man, I'm with you. And when trouble comes, which way did they go? See, so we need to know that we have a place where we can always go, and that's to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. You know, in John 10 and 10, Jesus said the thief comes, okay? The enemy comes. The devil comes. He don't come for no other reason except to kill, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. The enemy will try to destroy your dreams, will steal from you, will steal your very life from you, to create tension within relationships. And so Jesus pointed this out very well. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come. And see, the first blessing is that Jesus have come. He saw the brokenness of man. He saw the fallen creation. And he said, I have come that you may have life. Wow. That song that we're just singing said, I give you my life. I give you my soul. Isn't that something? I'm giving back to the one who gave it to me. Wow. And you see, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. And that you may have it more abundantly. Not just breathing, not just walking and talking, but God wants us to have an abundant life in Him, blessings in Him. And to me, that's a glorious thing to know. So we are more than conquerors because, again, if the enemy wants to kill me, Christ wants me to live. And he wants me to live an abundant life. And, you know, man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. It's more than stuff. You know, we're going to see in some of these scriptures here how it's important to know who you are in Christ, who we are in Christ. See, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What are all those things, right? I can endure, see. I can love. I can think rational. I can, you know, make a difference in this life. I can cheer someone along with a word or a song that my living is not in vain. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It means something when we can come to a point in our life that it's not about my particular strength, not all what I can do. Sometimes I can get in the way, and we need to know that without God, we can do nothing. So I want to take kind of a stroll through Romans chapter 8, if it's all right with y'all, just to look at some of the passages of Scripture that denotes that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So in Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What the Scripture is saying here, that when you're in Christ, you're no longer guilty. See, before Christ, we all are guilty. Why do I say that? Because the Scripture tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know before I came to know the Lord, I had a major case of the can't help it. I'm probably the only one in the room, but have anybody ever had a case of the can't help it? I can't help but do this. I can't help but say that. I can't help but go over here. I had, and a lot of those places and things was the wrong place to be. So the Lord will deliver us from the can't help it. So, but there's no condemnation. If you're in Christ, you can be assured that your destiny is secure and that you will spend eternity in heaven. See, the same enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he wants you to believe, and not only believe, but he wants you to be outside of the will of God. There's nothing worse than somebody thinking they're right when they're wrong. You know, hey, I'm good. Me and God, we tight. We homies. I don't bother nobody. I mind my own business. I help the old ladies across the street. We can't work our way into right standing with God. It comes from having a real relationship with him. So as we walk through this chapter of Romans 8, Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he say, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I thank God for the Spirit of God. I remember there was a time in my life I say, I'm a man, I'll never cry again. I was jacked up on the inside. It was a cover up. I'm going to let the world know, no, I'm tough. Don't nothing bother me. I was broken on the inside. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. But Jesus Christ gave me life. When I came to know him, it was like, then the mirror showed, then all of a sudden this mirror that I never paid attention to, it showed up and I saw me as I was. And I saw how desperately I needed the Lord. And it changed my life. I was able to face reality. Man, you are in trouble. Man, you have created havoc in your life. You know, because it's easy to have a self-righteousness. We can have a righteousness that we, you know, this is what I say is right, and this is what I say, and this is who I say God is. And you know, you can, if we're not careful, we can get in that place. But God, by his Spirit, is saying, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest, I'll show you who I am. And see, when God will show us who he is, then he'll show us who we are. And then we say, you know what, I need the Lord. He'll give life to our mortal bodies. He'll give us hope, see. You know, you can live without food for a little while. You can live without water for a little, but when a man lose hope, he's a walking dead man. But the Lord Jesus gives us hope. Romans 8 and 18, Paul said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, okay, there's some suffering going on. We suffer with illnesses. We suffer with financial situations. We suffer with relationships breaking down. We suffer with listening to the news, which you find no good news. It used to be that at least news would tell you, okay, this is what's happening, and that's what happened over there. But now it's commentary, and it's just all bad news. So we in this life, we struggle. You know, sometimes you can make plans and they don't come out like you thought they would. Sometimes you can grab a business and say, oh, I'm going to do this. And then COVID hit. What happened to the business? You know, but the writer, Paul, says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time, this in the here and now, are not worthy to be compared, listen to this, with the glory which will be revealed in us. So we're living to live again. See, in this world, again, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I thank God I'm living to live again. See, in the book of Revelation, it talk about we're going to a place where there's no more crying, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow. And God say, I will wipe away all tears from your eyes. You know, and listen, men, don't ever think that you too macho, you too man to cry. There's some things that I ain't talking about being no babbling little, but there's some things that will bring tears to our eyes. And when it comes to that point, I don't try to convince nobody. I'm not crying. No, yes, I am. But the Lord said, I'm going to wipe every tear from your eye. See, God has a plan for us. See, we're more than conquerors through him. I'm glad it's not built on me lifting weights. So, Pastor, how much can you press? I don't know. Don't want to find out right now. But see, the scripture said, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Again, what we read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I praise the Lord for that. Moving on down, Romans 8, 28. Yes, now let me just say this. These scriptures these powerful verses that I picked out of this chapter is talking to those who have put their faith, their hope, and trust in God. And it does not mean that you're not going to have any troubles. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have any sorrows. But it's always good to know that there's somebody on your side. He says, and we know. Who is the we? Those who have said, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, take control of my life. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Make me over again. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Wow. Just think about that. Now, does that mean that all things that happen is good? Oh, no. No, there's some things that happen in our life that are not good. But listen to this. The omniscient God, the creator of the heavens of the earth, he said that all things work together. So there's a blessing coming out of even struggles. The loss of a loved one. This doesn't feel good. This hurts. It grieves our heart. Our lives have been turned upside down. But God said all things. And so for me, I have to come to grips with the fact that I'm not going to live forever down here. Just as when my mother passed away in 2008, my father in 2016, my brother in 2017. And just, you know, and the beat goes on. And one day I'm going to have to leave here. And it's okay to leave when you know where you're going, if you got a place to go. It's a blessing. So we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Do you love the Lord today? I guess that's a question for the church today. Do you love the Lord? Thank God. And I thank God you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have all the degrees behind your name to love God. See, children can come to know the Lord Jesus at an early age. God is just that good. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do we know that God has a purpose for each one of us? You know, sometimes people spend their whole life trying to find their purpose. But you know what? The first purpose is to give God glory. It's to give God, it's to come to know who he is. You know, I thank God that even in as a child growing up, we couldn't even eat our food without saying a Bible verse. And the only one I knew two. God is love and Jesus wept. When do we eat? Right? You know. But at an early age, we begin to know and understand that God is real. As poor as we were down in Oklahoma, my mother was letting us know, before you eat that food, God has provided that food. This lady worked two jobs, and I give all glory to mothers, especially on this day. Mothers are working hard, sometimes two jobs, taking care of the kids, taking care of the husband, rubbing his head and back. You name it. I say, God bless the mothers. In the name of Jesus, mothers' hearts are heavy so oftentimes for their children. And sometimes the children are rebellious and they're not lining up and doing that which the mother has hoped for them. But the scriptures say, for we know that all things work together for good. Yes. To those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have confidence in knowing that God will make a way somehow. Romans 8 and 31. What then shall we say to these things? What should I say to these things? Listen to this. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on my side, ooh, thank you, Jesus. I can make it. I can do it. Do you know that God has never lost a battle? See, he never will. He is the awesome and terrible God. We've seen all through scriptures where people start saying, well, you know, that God of them people, he's something else. We going to surrender. We going to give it up, you know. And so back to the main verse here, Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's a couple of things to pick up in this. Yes, okay, we're more than conquerors. That is great. But through him who loved us. To know that you are loved, it goes a long way. Yeah. See, people are taking their lives today because they don't feel loved. They maybe have never experienced love from their mother or their father. Some have been raised up in orphanage, or this evening when we go out to the family shelter, there's children from infant to teenagers who are in those homeless shelters with their mother, most times just the mother, trying to make it. It's good to know that you're loved by God. And I'm learning that the more I understand that I'm loved by God and I want to love like God does, it helps me to love others the way I'm supposed to. Because, see, hurt people hurt people. If you hurt it on the inside, you will lash out at somebody else. But all that Spirit of God that it talked about that dwells on the inside, you cannot love. You can't operate in hate or malice, and it don't bother you. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that stirs us up and shows us how he wants us to live. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. From the foundation of the world, God has loved his creation. Thank you, Lord. When I was unlovable, God loved me. Thank you, Lord God. And listen to this. He says, for I am persuaded. Listen, we need to be persuaded in our own hearts and our minds that God loves me for adventure of a doubt. He loves me unconditionally. He loves me with that agape love. He loves me with that love to say, I love you not because of, but in spite of yourself, I love you. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, my God, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nothing in the heavenlies, no demonic force, nothing on this side or the other side, nor things present, nor things to come. There's some stuff coming down the pike, saints. This world is in a ball of confusion. War drums are beating all around this planet. Nations are coming up with more and more nuclear bombs, and people are hating one another. Jesus said, these things are going to come. These things are going to happen, but the end is not yet. But he said, but the end is coming. So we need to understand as conquerors that some of this stuff is going to come, but we're going to have to be able to have something to stand on. We're going to have to stand on the rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is what? In Christ Jesus. In short, I'm locked up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm on the Lord's side, and it makes me mighty glad. God, thank you. We're more than conquerors. We can do it through Christ, whatever it is. Trouble is going to come knocking on our door. Sickness is going to come knocking on our doors. Death is going to knock on our doors. But we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So as I was looking at this, I'm saying, God, you have a theme all through Scripture that you have a plan for your people, that you're able to execute the plan, that your plan is good and it's holy and it's righteous and it's just and it produces fruit. And so when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, we know the story of Moses and the children of Israel, and God had said way back in Moses' first part of his ministry that I'm going to take the children of Israel into the promised land. I'm going to take them to a place where it's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take you to a place where you, where everything will be provided. The resources are there, and all you have to do is trust me. I wanted you to know today, we need to learn how to trust God in the midst of obstacles that come in our way. Amen. And they're coming, and they're here now. So I want to fast forward a little bit. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty outstretched hand. He parted the Red Sea. Some of us had read it in the Bible, and some of us seen it on TV. Charlton Heston, you know. And how the Red Sea was parted. And God's people, who are more than conquerors, they went across on dry ground. Wow. So he brings them out of Egypt. They're in a place now to where they're right on the brink of going into the promised land. I don't want to get so close to something that I've been working toward and then miss it. See, I want to trust God through the process from start to the finish. And one thing that we have a problem with sometimes is we want to see the whole thing. Yeah. We, you know, God, show me not only plan B, but show me C, D, F, G, H, and all the way through Z, and then God, I'll follow you. Like I believe it was Martin Luther King years ago, he said there's two kind of faith. There is a if faith, and there's a though faith. The if faith says, God, if you bless me, see, if you provide everything I could possibly want, if you make my way plain, if you move every obstacle out of the way, God, then I'll follow you. Then I'll trust you. Then I'll serve you. God, say, if I have no problems, God, me and you good. But the though faith say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yeah, though trouble come my way, though weight is shown upon my brow, there's a sweet relief in knowing that the Lord will make a way somehow. It comes a point we need to be sold out for the Lord. We need to know in whom we have believed and know that he will perform that which he started us until the day of redemption. So when Moses bring the people out, they're on the brink of the promised land. Moses being the leader, he's the one called by God to lead the people into the promised land. And there's an obstacle in their way called Jericho, a city that was built up. But he sends 12 spies. He sent one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now you boys, listen, I'm going to send you on a recon mission. I want you fellas to go spy out the land, see what's over there, bring the report back, because all these million of people are ready to enter into the promise. Because God said, I'm going to take you to a place. Woo, it's going to be just awesome. And the 12, all of them left together. Let's go see. They get over to the place and they see, wow, the grapes is this big. You know, everything is green and fertile. Wow, this is awesome. And so they check it all out. I mean, the pomegranates were so big and the grapes were so big, you got a man with two men with a stick, one of them on the front, one of them on the back, and the big old grapes so heavy, they walk with it. And so it's like, wow, this is great. But there's a problem. See, 10 of them said, yeah, it's just like you said, God, but there's some giants over there. And they went on to say, let me read this first. Well, let me just say it because it's in the middle. But they say, but we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And there's a problem with that. How do you know what you look like to someone else? Let me just throw this in. If you're ever going for a job interview, don't put yourself down. Go in there with your head up high. Go in there with confidence. and ready to answer whatever question they ask you, because you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. Amen. Amen. When you go into a sick room, you go in there with Jesus. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You go in there with your word, with your Bible. And that's something else I've been wanting to encourage all the saints to do. You know, we all used to carry Bibles. Analog. And we would thumb through these Bibles and we would highlight verses that meant something to us. But now, sometimes we got them on our phones and that's good. But sometimes we need an analog. Because one of these days the internet might go down. The phone might freeze up. But also we need to hide God's word in our hearts. When we belong to God, we need to put his word down in our hearts. Like David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. How many, I know it's not just, it's everybody. Nobody wants to sin before God. Is that right? But sometime, the fact is we do. But isn't it a blessing that by being a conqueror, your sins are forgiven, and all we have to do is go to the Lord and say, God, I am sorry. Hallelujah. I sinned against heaven and against you. Forgive me. So here the spies go, and there's two of the 12 that really stuck out. Caleb and Joshua. Numbers 13, 30 through 31. Then Caleb quieted the people before me, because now all of the thousands and thousands of people, they're hearing, wow, the land is just like God said, just like Moses said. But we can't take it because it's some giants over there. I mean, these fellows is tough and we can't do it. So now you get murmuring going on. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, said, let us go up at once and take possession. Oh, this is someone who understood the concept of being more than a conqueror, because he's serving the one who's never lost a battle. He's trusting the one who say, I'm going to give you the land. Let us go up at once and take possession. For listen to what he said. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. They didn't get the concept of being more than a conqueror, because they were looking at their own strength. They were looking at their war machine compared to these others. And so now it negated what God had said in their hearts. So Caleb and Joshua, as a matter of fact, it got so bad, these folks, they was ready to stone Moses. Now, mind you, they came out of Egypt as slaves. Just a few verses down here, they're saying, we would have been better in Egypt. That's saying, take me back to the whipping. Take me back to the slavery. Take me back to where we were oppressed, rather than trusting God for what he has promised. But you know what the sad part is? It's a good part and it's a sad part to this whole story. Because whatever God says, he's still going to bring it to pass. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. But listen what happened, and this really grieved me. And I began to think about how it's important for us as believers, wherever we fellowship, to understand that we're more than conquerors and that we trust God in all of our ways. He'll make a way out of no way. So here the 10 stirred up the people so bad and rebelled against God and against Moses. God said, none of you over the age of 20 will enter the promised land. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Man, so that means some of them that was 20 didn't live past 60 because of unbelief. All of those that was under 20 made it through the 40 years, and now they were ready to go into the promised land. What am I saying? But look at this. You had two men, Caleb and Joshua, who understood that they were more than conquerors. they, what did they say? They said, let's go. Let's take it. We can do it. They had to wait 40 years. 40 years. They knew all we had to do was obey God. All we had to do was head on through there and God was going to fight the battles for us. They had to wait 40 long years, but God gave them the victory. So whatever God has promised you, he's going to do it. He'll bring it to pass. We need to understand today, church, that we are more than conquerors. Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much, God gave his only son that whoever believed in him should not die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. You know, we're living in a time to where there's so many religions, there's so many thought patterns, there's so much hatred, but there's some things in life that never change. God is immutable. He never changed. When he says, I love you with an everlasting love, he meant that. When he said, my love for you is more than the stars in heaven or the sands on the seashore, God meant that. When God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I'll be with you, he meant that. And that's how we can be more than conquerors. And I want to let the church know that as if we keep Christ before us, if we understand that what God has already planted in our hearts, he's going to bring it to pass, we're going to be all right. We need to be on one accord, not because the pastor says so, but because the word of God says so. Amen. Where there's unity, there's strength. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And there is nothing that we cannot do if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to help each other get to that place where God has called us to be. We want to use our gifts for the glory of God. We want to make a noise and let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We want to let people know that God forgives sins, that he makes ways out of no way. That's what it's all about. Man, and I have never done nothing halfway in my life. When I was out there in the world and didn't know the Lord, everything went. So I don't want to come into the house of the Lord and accept Jesus and flatline and don't believe God for all of his promises. I want to trust the Lord. And sometimes I don't want to be, you know, cavalier here, but sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we do get angry. Sometimes we do get frustrated. Sometimes we are persecuted. Sometimes things are not what we think they should be. But, see, the but is what's going to help us get through it. Because, but I'm going to trust God. Even when you can't trace him, you ought to still trust him. You ever had a place where you say, God, where are you? Don't you see what I'm going through? Father, don't you know that it hurts so bad? Remember what he said. He said, wait on me. Trust me. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still to see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. So God bless you. That's my message for the saints though today. We are more than conquerors. Listen, live like a conqueror. And I'm not talking about no bodacious, hey look, I serve. No. But in your heart, know that God's got your back. Amen. You can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord with everything you got. You can only trust some people so far, but you can trust God with everything. A man can trust God with his wife. A woman can trust God with her husband. We can trust God with our children. We can trust God with anything because he's God and he's everywhere at the same time. And he's yet calling people to himself. So we praise God today. So God bless you all. Amen. This is just such a blessing just to be able to be in the house of the Lord and to see the children in the house of the Lord and see little baby Ralph back there looking just as handsome and alert. My God, let's give the Lord a hand praise. God is just so good. Amen, amen, amen. So we thank the Lord. Now, before we close out, you know, Sister Dorothy, you know, she's